When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay. Earlier, we had to take a commercial break, but we were having a very interesting conversation about Lamar Jackson. The question was, Stephen A., does he need to win a Super Bowl to change the narrative? And I had to cut you short, so I want to have you finish your thought.
Well, I just wanted to point out that, you know, when Dan brings up, you know, how, you know, typically the prototypical quarterback didn't look nor sound like a Lamar Jackson, he's absolutely right. And what happens is throughout history on too many occasions, you know, things of that nature were used and to this day are still used in various avenues of our lives to pigeonhole and marginalize folks. And that's the beauty of sports. And I think it's important to bring that out because sports is the closest thing I believe we have in this country to a meritocracy where you can go out there and perform and that proverbial glass ceiling isn't hovering over you and holding you down and holding you back. Because I assure you, if there was a proverbial glass ceiling, Lamar Jackson would have been held back. Folks already tried. They tried to get him not to be a quarterback. They tried to get him to be a running back. They tried to dissuade him from doing what he knew he could do. And this innate belief in himself, this elevated level of confidence pushed him forward. Even when he was representing himself, all of us questioned it because we talked about how agents and what have you are connected to the NFL culture and they have the connections and they have the relationships and how unwise it was for him to be a representative for himself. And what did he do? He goes out there and he gets his $260 million contract. That's what he did. And then he goes back out onto the field and he performs. Think about all the quarterbacks we're looking at and think about what the NFL has opened itself up to. Because now that you've seen this guy go out on the field and perform that way, no, he may not come across as the most polished individual in the world. Who cares? He goes about the business of doing his job on a very, very, very elite level, and it's opened up opportunities for a whole bunch of people down the pike who may look a little bit like him, who may sound a little bit like him, and it's not going to get stopped. That is the beauty and the greatness and the appreciation we should show to Lamar Jackson, and him winning a Super Bowl would just be icing on the cake.
When you talk about Lamar Jackson, I think people have to understand the burden that he's also playing with. Like, it's not just I'm doing this for myself, for my team. Within that organization, sitting down with members of the front office, talking about what he means to the community and how that's so important. Like, his role in Baltimore, it's not just about championships. It's about what he means to this city that's filled with people that look just like him. Like, I think we're talking about football, but Lamar's place in it goes beyond just the X's and O's and the final scores. And unfortunately, he doesn't talk about it publicly, but we all know. Like, we all know the journey that he's on. We all know what it's like.
Well, he has people close to him who speak for him in that regard. In that regard, with stuff like that, there are people connected to his life who will disseminate that message on his behalf. He chooses not to do that.
Yes, himself. 100%. But he is keenly aware of the expectations and what it is to be a guy who's not the prototypical QB frame, physique, all that. Look, he understands the importance of that. And he's authentic. He is who he is. And there is something that I wish people didn't spend so much time trying to nitpick and move the goalposts on him, because when you spend so much time doing that, you are missing one of the greatest talents right now that we have in the NFL, who we when you celebrate the talents of a Josh Allen and a Joe Burrow and a Patrick Mahomes, not saying they're all equal in talent, but they're all special. And Lamar should be celebrated in that same way. Unfortunately for Lamar, people will not, once he wins a Super Bowl, then no one can say anything.
Yeah.
That's the shame of it.
I think there's still a couple things attached to this, you know, on top of it. This is a little bit attached to last year and Jalen. And Jalen, while he was great, didn't win, and people hang on to that. And again, the style of play, and can that win you the Super Bowl? I think so often when a quarterback wins the Super Bowl, it is like impactful and transformational for every guy. You know, if Josh Allen goes and wins the Super Bowl, it's for his own, I guess, legacy, and the Buffalo Bills get one. Matthew Stafford won one a couple years ago, and it was on like his Hall of Fame type of resume. If Lamar gets one, it is so much, there's so much many more tentacles attached to it than just, well, Lamar finally got one. It is, like, I'm not saying this, I'm a white dude. Like, it is significantly bigger than just Lamar Jackson and the Ravens won the Super Bowl. It is very much so that player that 20, 30, 40 years ago wasn't supposed to in the NFL. That's a very real thing. And I think it's important for us to give credit to Baltimore as an organization and give credit to John Harbaugh that they never once tried to change him. On or off the field. They never once tried to change the style of play. They never once tried to change the way he talked or the way he looked. That's happened in the league before. And I think it's important for us to like notify that and recognize that. And I think that's been one of the reasons why you've seen the flourish of the talent on the field. And I just think like him winning one is significantly bigger than, great, the Ravens quarterback won one.
The only thing that I'd like to add on that is that, and this is not throwing any kind of negative whatsoever on professional athletes, but it's a little easier to do because, again, it's a meritocracy. So in the end, what you do is what you do on far too many occasions, no matter what we do throughout corporate America and beyond. It's not just about your level of production. It's about presentation. It's about appearances. It's about so many things that are behind the curtain where people get to shift and manipulate narratives in such a way that even the greatness that you put forth can become a bit convoluted.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it would serve to minimize and dissipate and diminish what you've accomplished. You can't get away with that with a professional athlete. A professional athlete gets on the field or gets on the court and they're performing. It's undeniable. It's not only done, but it's done in a public setting. And so because it's not just you who's seeing it, it's everybody who's seeing it. And then those people who are usually hiding behind the curtains and manipulating narratives all of a sudden got to come out front and validate it. And they cannot.
All right.
And that's the advantage professional athletes have.
Sorry to rush you there, Stephen A., but Mike McCarthy currently speaking. We want to react to that. We've got fresh sound for you that you don't want to miss. We'll get everyone's reaction in just a bit.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. There will be no changing of the guard in Dallas. Despite many pushing for the Cowboys to remove head coach Mike McCarthy, Jerry Jones is sticking with him. Mike McCarthy addressed the media moments ago.
It was a long meeting. I think we went probably a little bit past 3 hours. We talked about a number of topics. I mean, the first topic was obviously the disappointment of the ending of the season. You know, went through all the layers of that. Then we talked about, you know, pretty much everything in the football program.
So it was more looking forward and just where happened and then what initially.
Yeah, I think it. You know, we went the whole course. You know, went back through, you know, things that we felt, you know, may have factored, and like I said, it the The disappointment component had a lot of layers to it, so we went through all those layers. And then we, talked about personnel and coaches and everything involved. So business affairs. And so, like I said, it was a long, productive conversation.
I know a lot of veteran coaches in your position feel it's important not to go into a final year to want an extension. Can you talk about working without an extension in this final year and any complications?
I think the biggest thing is, and I've been asked this for 20 years or ever how long those questions pertain. I've never talked about a player's contract, coach's contract. I mean, I'm not going to start today, but I will say I am very confident in the direction. I like where we are, as far as moving forward. So I'm very confident where I am.
Clarence, a four-star telegram. Can you talk about what the last few days have been like and for you and your family with the uncertainty? You felt there was some uncertainty regarding your future, and is there a sense of relief, focus? Where are you now mentally going forward?
I mean, professionally, this is what I do. I mean, so, and it's, it's tough, no doubt about it. I think when you have the opportunity to sit down and talk to every player, every coach, that's what Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday was, and then really shifted from the player exit interviews right up to, the conversation with Jerry. To say it's not emotional would, of course it is. I think it's being Captain Obvious. But, yeah, the family part of it is the only part that concerns me. Everything else is I have great confidence in, who I am as a man and, who I am as a coach. But the personal part of it is a challenge.
That, just going forward, what's the mindset? I mean, obviously you refocus this relief on where you are going forward. I mean,
I'm focused on the press conference right now. So, I have a job to do. So, obviously I think all of us spend as much time as we can with our family. So nothing's changed for me.
Mike, Todd Archer with ESPN. What needs to change with this team, organization, staff to get past?
Todd, it's still raw right now. I'm still a little bit numb. It doesn't matter what year you're in, the level of success you have. My experience and really my approach has always been, you're going to have changes, you're going to have adjustments, and you're going to have emphasis. And, starting with the emphasis, there's a lot of things that were accomplished, so we want to make sure we can try to build off of those. We're always going to adjust, whether it's, staff responsibilities, players responsibility scheme, all those things. And, and changes is really part of that adjustment, how big of a change you need to make. So, we're just getting started.
What's the biggest regret from what happened on Sunday?
Biggest regret? Well, not winning the game. The coaches have done their evaluations, and, I got those last night. So I'm still working through it, and I've had some conversations. I'm going to a meeting from here. But yeah, I think the disappointment is just not playing to your standard of play. And I mean, you go through the whole regular season, you establish a standard of play, a standard of productivity, approach, and all those things. And one team played to their standard, and the other didn't. And unfortunately, we didn't. So I'm very disappointed that in our performance and just not playing to our standard.
Joe.
Joe Trahan, WFA TV. Mike, because the performance was so far below expectations, and you talked that you got reports from coaches and everything, do you try and tweak the way you evaluate it because it was so far below what you expected? Are there any things that you could do different in your evaluation process to try and get to the bottom of what happened?
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
You have a certain way that you evaluate any game. Do you think, hey, listen, because that was so far below or so out of the ordinary for what you would expect, do you think about trying to tweak the way you evaluate it?
I look at evaluation process because I think the biggest thing is, the way, when you build a football program, from my approach is, you have education, education, how are you going to do it? And then what you're going to do is the application of it. And then you got to have a healthy, strong, well-oiled evaluation process, and from that you have things that you put buckets in. So, and those buckets, you know, have goals and statistical, you know, filters that give you direction and make sure you're looking at. Statistics don't tell the whole story, so that's not what I'm saying here. But I think it clearly gives you a light to shine on, and make sure you lock into those things. And the hard part about coming in here right now is, you know, there's a tremendous amount of emotion, you know, in all of us right now. And, you know, you have to get the emotion out of that to have clarity in your substance of how you're going to move forward. You got to learn from it, and then how you're going to grow. So then you got to swing back around. Now you got to educate again, then you got to apply it. And that's, you know, that's a process. So the evaluation process that we'll go through is, I mean, I guess you would say it's tweaked because you're applying it to different people. I mean, it's never the same, I guess, to answer your question.
And then just a quick follow-up. Will you go back to the Bills game, to the 49ers game, to try and find common denominators
Welcome back into First Take. That was Mike McCarthy addressing the media as he will enter his fifth season as head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I actually can't believe he's already been there that long. It feels like he just got the job. We bring in Mina Kimes. Mina, great to see you. We'll get to you in just a moment, Mina, because obviously you haven't even reacted to the fact, forget his, what Mike McCarthy had to say, the fact that Jerry Jones has decided to stick with him. But Stephen A., I wanted your reaction first to what you just heard from Mike.
I think watching him stand up there, looking at his face, hearing him talk about his family, it's not a time to troll. It's not a time to have a good time at the Cowboys' demise. It's a time to be serious here and say what I'm about to say about Mike McCarthy. Listen, I need McCarthy and I need his loved ones, his family members, and everybody that's watching, recognizing what this business, this is what he does, this is his career, what it means to him, to understand that no one is saying that he's not a good coach. The man has won 61% of his games in 17 years as a head coach. He's a Super Bowl champion 14 years ago. He's been to 4 conference championship games in his career. We know that there is a resume there. But what everybody needs to understand is that in those 17 years, Brett Favre, the first 2 years, Aaron Rodgers, the next 11 years, and Dallas, the last 4 years, your quarterbacks were Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, 2 Hall of Famers, and Dak Prescott, who's a league MVP candidate this year and is considered a damn good quarterback. And you have 1 Super Bowl to show for all of that over 17 years. At some point in time, folks do have a right to look at you and to question whether or not there's a better option. And so when I saw him saying what he was saying, it's like, yeah, we lost, yeah, it's hurtful, but you know, this is what I do, and you get back to work, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the problem was y'all didn't show up to work Sunday. That's the problem. Your job, when there are ways to lose. Losses happen. Dan Orlovsky, you watched the game, you covered the game. Mina Kimes, you know the game, you covered the game, okay? Both of you are exceptional. I'm not making this up. This is not a loss. You looked ill-prepared. You looked off. There are, and I said this when I was interviewing Troy Aikman, and I'll say it again. The camera shots had to be zoomed out on more than one occasion to see a Dallas defender in the vicinity of wide open receivers for the Green Bay Packers. So you didn't do your job. This is not, you can do your job and lose. You can do a haphazard job at times and win. But when you lose and it is clear that you were ill prepared, and then you got a 6-time champion out there that's on a coaching market, and just a couple of days after losing, Jerry Jones says, hey, we're going to stick with the plan, and we're perfectly fine. Yeah. It's a problem.
Yeah, I would have moved on from Mike McCarthy. I was surprised that Dallas didn't. I don't think it was a glaring mistake given what he has accomplished with this team, but I do think it would have been the right decision, not just because of the playoff record. I've seen it pointed out, well, other great coaches didn't have success into the playoffs until they did. And I think with playoffs, because it's such a small sample size, often you can explain losses, fluky things happen, interceptions, whatnot. No, for me, it's the way they've lost, to Stephen A's point, not just this year, but last year. Last year was about game management, clock management, ultimately fell at Mike McCarthy's feet. And this year, you know, Dan and I were just in Tampa reacting to this loss, and we were stunned by what we saw from Dallas because there were so many errors in coaching. Defensively, major problems, game planning for Green Bay and reacting to what Matt LaFleur did. Offensively, Dak Prescott didn't play well. I don't want to make it seem like we're exonerating him at all. But, Dan, the contrast between what we saw from Dallas's offense, which is under Mike McCarthy's purview, and Green Bay, where you had a essentially rookie quarterback being put time and time again into a position to succeed, throwing to wide open receivers, scheme helping him out. Dallas had by far the easier matchup going against a Packers defense that we saw get absolutely run through during the regular season, and there was nothing. I mean, again, Prescott made mistakes. I don't want to ignore that. But offensively, there was no creativity. There was no help. And I think when you're coming on 2 years in a row where we can blame these playoff losses or put a lot of the share of the blame at the feet of coaching, yeah. If the ultimate goal of this team is to go deep into the playoffs, it seems to me to be a mistake to stick with him.
Yeah, I completely agree, MK. You know that. And I think in relation to the Dak and Mike McCarthy situation, the concern is you're coming off of that combination being the best season that quarterback has had.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly one of the two or three best quarterbacks in football this season. And so you take that in the regular season, and then it goes into the postseason, and it's a complete 180 dud. The player just didn't fall off the tracks. That's my concern with it. Listen, we all, in many ways, like Stephen A., you know, as much of a troll as you are with the Cowboys, you do root for Mike McCarthy as a human being. Like, right? You root for Dak Prescott to do well. They're great people. Listening to the press conference, I still am left with some, like, questions because Mike McCarthy, again, I'm not attacking anything, but, like, he said I had some really productive conversations with Jerry Jones over those 3 hours. And then I believe it was Todd Archer who asked, well, what needs to change? And he responded back with, I don't know just yet. I'm still raw and numb. But then how did we have productive conversations? Now, maybe it's a press conference response and he's not giving anything to the media, but I would like something in that moment. And then someone asked him, hey, Sunday, go back to it. And his response was, we just didn't play to our standard. And I would love to know why. Like that's the crux of this. They didn't lose on a game-winning field goal. They didn't lose on a one-score game. In his words, they did not play to their standard in a year where their expectations were higher than they've been. And realistically, their expectations were higher than they've been. So why did you not play in the biggest game of the year versus the team that is the youngest team in the NFL, not to your standards? That falls on coaching again. That's... coming out of that press conference, those are two still giant question marks that we don't have answers to.
Absolutely. And that's really what this comes down to. And the fact that we don't have answers to those questions and he's still numb and what have you. And you're meeting with Jerry. I mean, what was the purpose of meeting with him? You know, you wanted to find out whether or not you were going to still have a job. And the reason why you were wondering whether or not you were going to still have a job is not because you lost, it's because of how you lost. Let's call it what it is. We've seen Jerry Jones keep Jason Garrett after back-to-back-to-back 8-8 seasons where they lost on the last game of the regular season to each team within the division, Philadelphia, New York, and Washington. Back-to-back-to-back years, not necessarily in that order in terms of the team. That and Jerry Jones still kept Jason Garrett. And so to go your route with you, you wanted play calling duties. You wanted that responsibility. You pushed Kellen Moore out of there so you could have that responsibility. And then you go up against Matt LaFleur, who has a first-year quarterback behind center in the postseason, and you get utterly schooled. Schooled. Yeah. I mean, schooled to the degree that, I mean, I would be shocked if Dan Quinn, hey, call me crazy, I would be shocked if he got a head coaching job after this performance. Because if I'm a perspective, if I'm a team, I saw you blow a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl, even though Kyle Shanahan was your play caller. I get that. But it, despite how good mm-hmm. their defense has looked, albeit against inferior competition this year because they were playing a bunch of last-place teams yeah. most of the season, I'm still looking at you in the postseason. And to have receivers so wide open, to for your defense to look so inept, I would be shocked if Dan Quinn yeah. ended up with a head coaching job.
13 trips to the playoffs, no conference championship appearances, the longest such streak in the NFL.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Oh, Dan Orlovsky's got a list for us, an A-list. Oh, I see you doing the Stephen A. Dan, you've got your top five.
Stop him. Make him stop.
Oh, my gosh. Mina's getting in on it, too.
I know Mina.
It looks a little like Carlton Banks slash Stephen A.
Oh, this is
Did you watch Fresh
no,
Prince?
No, it doesn't.
No, it did a little. Okay, let's get to the list. Dan, you're supposed to be scary. It's your top five scary quarterbacks.
This dance is scary. This dance is scary.
Do you have your top five scariest quarterbacks?
Top five quarterbacks scariest that are left in the playoffs. We're going to start with number five, Green Bay, Jordan Love. Jordan Love in his last nine games has 21 touchdowns and one interception. Went down to Dallas and absolutely woodshedded that defense that led the NFL in takeaways. This is why scary this weekend. He has absolutely gutting zone defense lately since like week 11. His QBR against zone defense is 85. San Francisco plays a ton of zone defense. Jordan Love in his first year as a starter. Number four, Stephen A is going to hate this one. Baker Mayfield. Because when Baker Mayfield's doubted and when Baker Mayfield's feeling himself, he wakes up feeling dangerous. You say stop, Dan. 60 explosive pass plays from Baker Mayfield this year. That's top five in the NFL. Guess what is Detroit's number one weakest on defense? Explosive pass plays. That is a scary matchup for Detroit defensively with Baker Mayfield. Number three, we're going to go to the best player in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, no matter what is going on with that offense, Patrick Mahomes is still scary when he gets the football in his hands. I know the offensive tackles have not been great. I know this team leads the NFL in offensive penalties. I know these wide receivers and pass catchers lead the NFL in drops. This guy's got a chance on Sunday to break hearts up in Buffalo, and he still, with his legs, is scary on that 3rd-and-8 moment of like, oh my gosh, what's he gonna do with the football? Until someone goes and knocks him off, he is still wildly scary, even independent of what's around him. Number two, Josh Allen. Josh Allen was the second best player in football this year outside of Lamar Jackson. And Josh Allen has Patrick Mahomes that now has to come to his home in Buffalo on Sunday night in that weather with that crowd. And I think that crowd is going to be absolutely outrageous. And the way that he is playing right now and the way that he can take over games has the chance to catapult a team that's decimated with injuries to the AFC Championship. Number one, you're going to the NFL's MVP, Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson
the questions of, can he get it done in the playoffs? We've never seen him, you know, kind of be the guy in the playoffs that was the reason his football team won. He's never had this supporting cast. He's never had this style of offense be played. And Lamar Jackson, 6, 7, 8 times a game, I've said it all year, he takes a play that is absolutely nothing and makes it into something. He was the first guy that I said, man, you could have the perfect defensive play call, and you could have the defense, all 11 of those guys, play it absolutely perfect, and it still won't matter. He is still that guy.
All right, so we got Lamar, Josh, Patrick, Baker, and Jordan. Mina and Stephen A., before you jump in, fans at home, that QR code, scan it, grade it. We want to see what you give Dan. Mina? Would you like to go first?
What do you got, MK?
Because, Mina, I felt like you had a hard time maybe with this name right here, number 4.
Yeah, 4 is Dan Orlovsky standing under the hoop begging us to dunk on him. And
absolutely,
I will gladly oblige Baker Mayfield
absolutely
over not just Jordan Love, but C.J. Stroud.
How about
is
that?
A wild choice. They should both. I would put C.J. on the list above Mayfield. I would move Jordan Love up. Love in particular, Dan. Since the second half of the season, who has been the best quarterback statistically under pressure? Jordan Love. Who has been the best quarterback on third down? Jordan Love. Who has actually been the best quarterback, period, according to QBR? Jordan Love. Baker Mayfield has been 20th. I understand your point about matchups. He has the easiest defensive matchup of any of these guys, but I don't care. Jordan Love and C.J. Stroud are playing out of their minds right now, and you are out of your mind for making the end of your list look this way.
The matchup's got to matter. He's going against Detroit, who struggles to let last week, outside of poor red zone from the Rams offensively were very good in that football game. And I understand Baker's not Matthew, but the way that those receivers and Mike and Chris are playing, Cade Otton, they're going to struggle to cover that tight end. Like, that's a
scary quarterback. Wait, let's give some context. So this isn't just scary quarterbacks. This is based on opponent.
It's always in context with me, Molly. Just like it's always fluid.
Moving the goalposts?
No, it's always in context.
Okay, Steven?
Well, first of all, you don't know how to do fluid. All right, that's a damn shame. Secondly, you don't have a dancing bone in your body. Please don't embarrass yourself like that over national television again.
He actually
number
has
three,
rhythm.
Number three. Oh, stop it, Molly. Just stop.
No, he did.
Really,
that
really,
was that.
Stop
but he
it.
Does. I've
okay.
seen him
stop. Make
three.
Him stop.
Number three. Mina is absolutely on point. You can't have a top five list in these playoffs without C.J. Stroud at the quarterback spot. You have lost your damn
list.
Mind. I mean, please, excuse me, it's the top five right there. I'm looking at five
Scariest.
Selections, okay?
Damn,
I don't
it's
care.
One through five.
It's scary,
one through
five,
though.
It's not the five
and
best.
You can't
no.
have a – I'm talking about a list that
it's
includes five.
It's my list, Stephen A.
All right,
it's
a list,
list,
okay?
But it is
I'm
one through five.
It's
a bad list.
Of the five. It's one through five is all I'm trying to say. You can't have the five, and C.J. Stroud is not on the list. In terms of being scary, he certainly goes up there ahead of Baker Mayfield. I'd elevate Jordan Love, and here's where it gets tricky for me, too. I'd elevate Patrick Mahomes above Josh Allen. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Because you're looking at this season, and you're contextualizing it that way. I get that. But he's about to go up against Mahomes. That's been his nemesis. He's beaten him twice in the postseason. You got to get over that hump. And until he does that, I can't put him above Mahomes because no matter what we've seen from Josh Allen, it might not measure up against that dude because it hasn't yet. I have to put Mahomes above Josh Allen.
Hmm. You're
Oh, I was going to say, if you're so concerned about matchups and context, that's where I would also echo Stephen A. I think Patrick Mahomes has a much easier matchup. Buffalo Bills defense has been sensational, but they are extremely injured, whereas Josh Allen goes up a Kansas City Chiefs defense that, frankly, should be a much bigger story in these playoffs, the way they're playing against a defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, who maybe outside of the guy in Baltimore is calling defense better than anyone in the NFL right now.
I don't disagree with that. I completely agree. Now, the realities of Kansas City's offense, while I'm more confident now than I was in them a week this or a month to 6 weeks ago, there is the reality that both tackles still struggle. Drops have still been a part of that. So we got to see on the road, like we got to go see this group and Patrick go on the road and do it versus Sean McDermott, who's been, he hasn't been maybe as impressive as Spags, who's been great in Kansas City, but he's been really good. The best version of Josh Allen is the one that believes, okay, it's go time. Like, I'm about to go do crazy stuff, and I'm going to go take the roller coaster ride. That's the best version. That's the scariest version for both the home team and the opponent team. Okay. I disagree that you guys don't see Baker Mayfield.
This is very Dan. Baker Mayfield's very Dan. This is very Dan. I'm actually surprised you don't have Josh. And if Matthew Stafford was still in.
Whoever was still in, you wouldn't
even give Jared Goff
if you
anymore
watched
if we
Sunday
do that.
Can I throw this out there for you, Dan? Can I throw this out there for you?
Yes, sir.
I don't know how often we've seen Josh Allen be more spectacular than he was in Kansas City in the playoffs a couple of years ago, and he lost that game.
The Bills lost that game, not Josh.
Yeah, I was just saying. Really? I'm sorry, Dan. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mention the other 52 guys on the roster.
If he does that performance again, they will win.
Okay. You're done. Stephen A., can I get your grade,
y'all
please?
Y'all be hating on Baker, man.
What grade would you give this, Stephen A.?
I'd give it a C.
Yeah. Mina, what do you think?
I'll give it what I imagine Dan averaged at UConn, a C-.
Ooh. He was the best quarterback ever at UConn.
I unequivocally
So let's put a little respect on his name with that.
1,000% cool with getting C's in school.
Okay. Do we have America's vote or do we not have it? Oh, we do.
I want a C.
Stephen A., well, I need to talk to you. This is like you and I having a conversation because we do this show 5 days a week. I don't know why I find it so remarkable. I say this every time. The fans are always in lockstep with the analysts.
Yeah.
And I find it extremely impressive. Like, no matter what, there has not been a day.
Ball.
It's unbelievable. It'll be the same. It's always the same predominant. Like, it's a C. They gave you a C, predominantly a C.
Dan,
I'm totally good with
Dan, Mina,
love our first take,
the only thing that throws me off is with Molly saying such a thing. She acts so surprised. We're number one for a reason. We have the pulse of the people.
Or they have the pulse of us.
Fair point.
Stephen
A.
It's not about us. It's about them.
They're brilliant.
No, it's about us.
The number one thing that throws you off is the pitcher's mound at Yankee Stadium.
I know, right? But I've been working on that.
But I'll give Stephen A. this. He knocked it out of the park Monday morning, remote show. Like a million people watched. Yeah, that was. They're watching for Stephen A. They're watching for Stephen A. to see the reaction to the Dallas Cowboys. No one else is taking credit for that except for Stephen A. It's pretty impressive. And we weren't even all in studio together. Like,
figurative number or realistic?
I don't know the exact number, but it was ridiculous.
I wasn't going to bring it up, and I'm not going to say the exact number, but it's significantly more than a million.
Oh.
We can leave it at that.
Yeah, I don't know the exact number.
Record-breaking numbers.
Yeah. It was like game numbers. Yeah.
Do you think that many people are going to be into this list?
All right, let's go to break.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right. The Dallas Cowboys are retaining Mike McCarthy. He will be their head coach for his fifth season. And earlier, he addressed the media and was asked what his message was for Cowboys fans.
We have an unbelievable fan base, and they should be frustrated. We're extremely disappointed. Disappointed for them. Disappointed in our performance. But my message would be this: we have established a championship program. It's just not the world championship yet. We know how to win. We know how to train to win. We have the right people, but we have not crossed the threshold winning playoff games. And it's extremely disappointing to be sitting here talking about it. But I know how to win, and we will get over that threshold. I have total confidence in it, and that's why I'm standing here today.
What?
Stephen A? Oh, yeah. There we go.
What? This is not funny. That man just sat in front of a microphone, national cameras for national television rolling, and said, we have a championship program. That's what he said. A championship program, but in the same breath, we'll sit up there. We just haven't figured out to win a playoff game yet. Excuse me. Correct me if I'm wrong, Molly. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dan Orlovsky. Are you telling me that did I miss something? That championships are won without winning playoff games? That is the most asinine quote that I have heard in recent memory. If I'm the city of Dallas, if I'm Dallas Nation, Cowboys Nation, if I'm Dallas fans everywhere, I have just plummeted into a state of depression. How in the hell can he say something like that? I just finished. I'm trying to be cool. I know how to win. You won a Super Bowl in 17 years. You've had Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and Dak Prescott. And you have one championship to show for it in 17 years. You are 1-3 in the postseason since you arrived in Dallas 4 years ago. And you're going to sit up there with a straight face just days after an embarrassment and say to the world, we got a championship program. I mean, Jerry Jones should be depressed right now. This is the most asinine quote that I have heard in recent memory. And I challenge anybody, and I'm going to be listening to you, and I'm going to be listening to RC and Swaggle. I challenge anybody to tell me that quote was okay. A championship program? He said that. Go ahead, Dan. Just go.
I think that was a trigger word for him. Yeah. I think the word championship was a little bit of a trigger for Stephen A. Is that fair to say,
Dan? The best part of the day was coming out of the sound, and you go, Stephen A, he goes, what? What? I don't have
okay.
that.
Okay, what do you think about what Mike McCarthy had to say, though, honestly?
My honest thoughts.
In all seriousness, in saying we're a championship team and all that, do you think that was a poor choice of words?
I think that from a coaching perspective, he is trying to intimate that they have championship habits, that they have a championship daily routines, that they're doing the right things or on that. I'm trying to put this together.
How about we say they have wild card habits? They have wild card habits.
Well, you can't become a champion.
They have wild card routines.
You cannot become a champion until you.
But would that be a little more? Would that be more fair to say? It's not conference championship habits.
You can't become a champion until you, on a daily basis, act like a champion. So yeah. I think he's trying to intimate that they are more often than not doing championship-like things on a daily basis. They just haven't won games. I'm trying to help the Cowboys fans here. What?
I did not say. I just finished saying I want to respect the man. I understand the situation. But this is what the facts are.
Yeah.
I tried to be cool. And then he comes out and he says that nonsense. The Dallas fans should be in a state of depression. You're not going to win. You're not going to win. That's
Dan
championship
said,
to
Dan
them.
Dan said to blow up
that's
the organization to get a new coach,
that's
OC, and quarterback, and they've done none of that.
Regular
Goodbye,
season
America.
Champions.
Goodbye.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.